Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, day off for the Buffalo Bills out at St. John Fisher University, but not here for me on the Extra Point Show. Here with you today, 803-0550, Sal Capaccio with you, and taking your phone calls on whatever you'd like to talk about on the Buffalo Bills for the first week of camp. It has been a week. They opened up a week ago today out at St. John Fisher University. And of course, the big news, the big story, and the big waiting game is on cornerback Maxwell Hairston. And we still have nothing on Hairston, unless something's come over here, Josh, in the last, you know, 5-10 minutes since I've been bumping around here ready for the show. I haven't seen anything, right? So nothing on Maxwell Hairston for the Buffalo Bills yet. And we wonder and we wait. So what happened was, yesterday, Max Hairston was working with defenders off on the side field. And he went down with an apparent non-contact injury. We know that after both Dane Jackson and Taron Johnson spoke to the media after practice. But it was on the side field, and really there were no media watching at the time or filming him going through his drill. But after it happened, there's video from several different media members, Dan Fates out in Rochester, Carl Jones here in Buffalo, John Scott here in Buffalo, and others, of Max Hairston sitting, being looked at, talking to, with trainers, and getting tested. It looked like they were testing his knee. And you could interpret that. Are they testing for an ACL, an MCL, all of those things that go into it, right? That's what it appeared to be. As he was being tested, he laid back down. He was on his back, full length, put his hands up to his head, kind of, you know, being upset. Sat back up, talked to trainers, got up. Teammates surrounded him, hugged him, talked to him. He walked off the field with a trainer, Nate Bresky, the head athletic trainer of the Bills. We say on his own, under his own power. He did walk. He wasn't carted, which is, I think, at least noteworthy. But he also had quite a bit of assistance from Nate Bresky, and I think that's noteworthy. So we can interpret all of that however we want, whatever video you want to watch, and however that comes into play. So that being said, as we waited last night for any leak of information, news, reporting from anyone on the situation, late last night, we get an Instagram post from Max Hairston. His Instagram post had a picture of him signing a football. And he wrote in the caption, quote, "Beyond blessed, thank you, God," with prayer hands in between "beyond blessed" and "thank you, God." This is something I've said many times before, which is, I try not to read into too much of what players write on social media. We live in a day and age where anything can get interpreted in a number of different ways. How many times have you seen a player tweet something that has, that people think and run with, has something to do with their teammate, their situation in football, the fans, whatever? And it's really not about that at all. It might be something about their personal life. Might be something about, oh, you really lied to me. That's all they write, right? Like some guy's like, ah,
nice to be lied to. And like, oh my God, what's the team doing? Oh, maybe that was just about like something with the fight with their girlfriend or something. Who knows? Those things happen. So in this situation, I would think it would have to at least deal with his injury, right? But I think you can also take this a couple of different ways. I think, A, you can look at it as encouraging, and Maxwell Hairston saying, beyond blessed, thank you, God, meaning I escaped serious injury. That would be great. I think you could also take it to mean something of a far more serious situation, which is an injury, which is maybe him still putting his faith in God, even though he is seriously injured. I think you could go either way. So that's why I don't want to make an assumption here. It is our job to report it because he wrote it and it has to do with it, I'm sure. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Not a great situation for the Buffalo Bills if they do lose their first round rookie corner, as Joe and Jeremy and Howard actually were talking about this morning, and I agree. I think Howard was the one that said, because Tre'Davious White's been starting, yes, you would lose your first round corner, but you're not losing a starting corner. And that's a way to look at it, there's no doubt. And it is also a way to at least get us to Tre'Davious White and how he's looking, which I want to do here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today, because I wrote about him yesterday. I thought he was the best player on the field. In the meantime, we can get connected with you, our fans, and of course, getting connected is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. The Bills have what I think is pretty good depth at their corner spot, but that's having some faith in maybe the rookie Dorian Strong. Where if you look at their corner spot right now, and we're talking outside boundary corner, Taron Johnson's obviously a nickel. Christian Benford, and then Tre'Davious White and Max Hairston on the other side. Beyond that, if they don't have Max Hairston, Jamarcus Ingram is still on this roster. Dane Jackson is on this roster. Dorian Strong was drafted and should be on this, is on this roster. I think actually Dorian Strong probably has a better chance to be on the roster maybe than Dane Jackson, simply because there's a draft pick and he's subject to waivers because he's a young player. And if they were to release him at the end of camp, he could be get claimed by any team. That wouldn't be the case with Dane Jackson. You could release Dane Jackson and still sign him to the practice squad as a break glass in case of emergency veteran, which to me still trends that way looking at how this fits. You still have Daquan Hardy, Tecorey Couch, and Daryl Porter Jr., who I don't put in the same bucket as any of these guys I'm talking about. Jordan Hancock is pretty much the backup nickel corner and a safety, like a Cam Lewis. So what you really have at the end of the day is Benford, Hairston, White, Ingram, Strong, Jackson. I count six boundary corners. And I think that's a good number to have, but you're not keeping six boundary corners on your roster. If you lose Max Hairston, you're down to five boundary corners. And it's still probably you're not keeping five. You could because of special teams, but you still have to have faith in that depth. And what that depth would be, again, is what is Dorian Strong right now? What is Dane Jackson at this point? After leaving the organization, coming back, he had an injury thing last year as well. And then there's Tre'Davious White. And a lot of this just hinges on Tre'Davious White. Suddenly, Tre'Davious White might become the most important Buffalo Bill outside of Josh Allen. Because maybe how he is, how he performs, where he is at this point of his career, where he is with his injuries, that the answer to that question might really make everything at corner hinge on the answer to that question, I should say. I really like what I've seen from Tre'Davious White. That doesn't mean that he's going to go into week one against the Baltimore Ravens and be a shutdown guy on, you know, pick your receiver for them. I think they do have DeAndre Hopkins now. They, by the way, they're in the news too with some injuries and a very significant injury for them that we'll get to. Zay Flowers, right? More of a slot guy, but you get the point. Tre'Davious White, week one is most likely the starter anyway, and I think this kind of ramps that up even if unless Max Hairston misses like no time, I think any sort of loss for like a week or so, missing preseason time, is significant to his development and chances to start week one. If he's out long term, then of course it looks like it's Tre'Davious White's job, and it currently is. Yesterday, as I just said, Tre'Davious White was, to me, the best player on the field. At least from what I saw in both one-on-ones and then translating to 11-on-11. In one-on-ones, they go goal line, one-on-one. Back of the end zone, he's draped all over Joshua Palmer. Does a nice job to make sure that he's kind of in his hip pocket wherever he goes. At that point, Josh Allen's going to try to fit it in, but he doesn't have to because, I mean, if you're in a regular season game, you're in a situation, it's probably going to throw it away, but he's going to fit it in this situation just because you're working the drill. He does. I think it's a ball maybe Josh doesn't throw normally, but he does throw it to try and fit it in this drill, and Tre'Davious White gets his head around, perfect position, picks it off. Defense goes nuts. Jamil Adai, his corners coach, you could see, DB coach, he's going crazy. Joe Dana, his teammates, it was great. It's really great to see. A little bit later, he's matched up against Keon Coleman. Keon gets to the goal line, works in, works out, tries to get away. Trey is right on him. Doesn't give him any breathing room. Has his hands on him. Keon's trying to get physical. Trey's right there. Again, maybe a ball Josh Allen doesn't throw in this situation to this particular spot. He does, and Trey's right there to kind of just, you know, he's got his left arm a little bit behind him. He reaches his right arm, and he bats it down. Then, in 11-on-11, as Joshua Palmer again is going down the left sideline, Tre'Davious White is in a basically like a trail coverage. He's one-on-one. I think it's probably a zone. There's a guy coming over the top, but Trey's there. It's a spot where, okay, he's there. He's not in the perfect position, but he's in good position, but the ball was perfectly placed for Joshua Palmer. And all he has to do is just let it come down to him. Josh Allen on the throw. But you know what Trey did? I mean, he used his length and his instincts to time it perfectly, and that's when I saw that play right in front of me, basically, as it's coming down the sidelines. That was the play where I said, that's the old Trey White. It's one thing in the one-on-ones, and you know, this is your one guy, you're sticking with him, you're doing this drill. This was 11-on-11. That guy's got the ball coming down to him on the sidelines, and he timed it perfectly. He used his length, he batted it away. And from there, they go nuts again on the sidelines. It was great to see. I like the camp Tre'Davious White is putting together. But it's got to translate into week one and beyond for the Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens. Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, they are dealing with a significant injury, which I would say at this point looks like they will not have Isaiah Likely week one. It is possible, but it is a small foot fracture, according to Jeremy Fowler. If all goes well, quote, it's an early season return and week one is possible, from Jeremy Fowler. I would say in this situation, 4 to 6 weeks at least. Some are saying 5 to 7. That's fine. Okay, let's just say it's 5 weeks then. I mean, the season starts. How many weeks from now? Well, I mean, we've got the Hall of Fame game coming up. Let's just do a little math here. All right? Let's just say he comes back in 5 weeks from now. That would put you at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would put him coming back the week of the first game, practicing the first game. It is possible. Does he miss all that time and just show up week one and put him on the field? I think he's either lost or not playing or very, very minimal being able to do. I mean, all these teams are going to play the long game with these guys, right? You'd think a team like the Ravens would, they think they're going to be a, you know, Super Bowl contender. So I think the Ravens at this point look like they may be without Isaiah Likely.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And let's look at the Ravens real quick. I want to just check something out on them because, let's see what we got. Isaiah Likely is a very important player for them. Even though they do have Mark Andrews, we know, and Mark Andrews is a good player, and he's going to be targeted a lot. And remember, Mark Andrews had a couple costly plays against the Bills in that AFC Championship game. He's getting a little older. He's had some, you know, injuries himself over the last couple of years. But Isaiah Likely is a big part of what they do. And I think even more so because their receivers, they're good. They're not blow you out of the water great. Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, DeAndre Hopkins now is there. Tylan Wallace. And then you really have a bunch of guys. Okay, what can they do? Anthony Miller, Devontae Walker. So, yeah, I just think that's a, especially the kind of offense that Greg Roman, the kind of offense the Ravens want to run. Roman used to be there. With their tight ends, how heavily involved, what they do, what they mean. I think that's a significant change, a significant loss for them if indeed they are without Isaiah Likely, which I think they probably will be without Isaiah Likely as we sit here today. Will the Bills be without Maxwell Hairston? We don't know. Nothing on Maxwell Hairston right now. Anything you want to talk about is on the table when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, when it comes to training camp. And what am I getting here? Okay, here at camp. I'm reading. This is from, this is not on Maxwell Hairston. Just a little around the camp stuff. Every day you hear, see a little stuff. For the Chiefs today, Pete Sweeney reporting no Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, or Sky Moore. I mean, you talk about the Bills having these injuries. Everybody's dealing with them, and the Bills are definitely dealing with quite a bit of injuries. Too many, right? Everybody is right now. It's not just your team. You have to have a perspective around the league about what's going on. And when you are dealing with injuries, sometimes you just make sure, back off, and play the long game, like I said. And I think that's exactly what the Bills are basically doing here with several of their players. 803-0550 is the number to call. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We do have some player sound I want to get to today. Now, we heard from Taron Johnson right after some of the media did after practice yesterday. Got some sound saying that it was a non-contact injury and, you know, about Max Hairston. But overall, Taron Johnson also spoke a couple days ago after practice just about camp, about that point of where he is in his career right now, Taron Johnson. So we'd like to play that for you. Taron Johnson meeting with the media at the podium prior to practice a couple of days ago. We'll get you a couple player sounds today. And then at 11 a.m. today, going to hear from Thad Brown out in Rochester, my guy Thad, who I always think when Thad's on, he sounds like Adam Schefter. It's going to sound like Adam Schefter's talking to him. I think Thad sounds like Adam Schefter. I want you to judge, Josh, when he's on the air later, okay? But it is Thad. It's not Adam. Thad from WROC News 8 in Rochester, of course, part of Bills Kickoff Live as well. I'll be on that show on Friday when it comes to the return of the blue and the red Friday here at Orchard Park for the open practice. We'll get to Taron Johnson. We'll have more player sound a little bit later. Thad Brown at 11. Here is the Buffalo Bills starting veteran nickel cornerback.
Our pads, having them on, and how did it feel just to be back in pads?
I felt good. This whole time, I feel like we've been playing like flag football a little bit, and it's time to get to the real thing, you know what I'm saying? So just having pads on, being physical, making some contact, it feels good. That's a big part of my game.
How do you toe the line when we see guys like KJ and Christian going at it a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, how do you toe that line? Make sure you're doing it the right way, getting the competition in, but also, you know, you're competing.
Yeah. I say get as close to the line as possible. You know, I feel like iron sharpens iron. You know what I'm saying? So if you got both guys competing at a very high level, there's no place but to get better in it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the environment we have. And when we continue that environment, it makes us better.
And Sean talked about this morning, you know, wanting, what did he want to see out of it? He used the term nasty, physical. So was that a message you heard as players beforehand as he's
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
I mean, that's the identity you want in a defense. You want guys who are there to toe the line. I mean, you don't want to get disrespectful, but if you got guys that are close to that point, that helps. You know what I'm saying? And it's a mindset to be physical and kind of have like this fearless mindset that I have and that I want the whole defense to have.
Matt Milano had a couple strong tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Running across, he looks quick, fast, mm-hmm. physical, you know, at the top point. Just what have you noticed from his campus so far?
That he is who he is. You know what I'm saying? It's not a surprise to me. It's something I've seen for 9 years. You know what I'm saying? So just him being that same guy that he's always been is helpful for us.
Speaking as someone you've seen for a long time for Davis, where does he appear to you on the football field compared to maybe where you saw him maybe before injuries?
No, he's ready. You know what I'm saying? That's all I can say. His quickness is there. His speed is there. He knows the game well. He's not making mental errors. He's ready to play. And that's something that I'm happy to see. He's one of my best friends. So just seeing that is huge.
Bobby said he's on a mission. Do you see that even from the personality and the swag of part of the
Oh, for sure. I mean, people think whatever they think about him, you know what I'm saying? But he's out to not only prove people wrong, but prove to himself that he's the player that he has been in this league.
Sarah, you're getting ready for year number 8. Is it kind of hard to believe that you're already at this point in your career?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just really a blessing, you know what I'm saying? Being with the Bills for so long, I couldn't. Before I was in the NFL, I couldn't see it any other way, you know what I'm saying? So it's been a crazy blessing, and I just want to take full advantage of it.
You do things differently this far into your career than maybe you didn't need to do when you were a little bit younger, maybe for a second year?
For sure. I mean, but I've added things over the time, and it's just each year I add a little bit here and a little bit there, whatever I can do to get a little bit better.
You're also continue to challenge yourself now that you're 8 years into this job. What do you need to do at your training camp or every practice?
I feel like putting myself in uncomfortable positions is huge for me. Maybe things that I might not see that often in the game, or just things where I might not like where I'm at, you know? And I feel like that'll put me in the best positions when I'm in the game to make those plays. And whatever I can, my main thing is getting the ball. So whatever, however I can get the ball, however I can force turnovers, that's the goal.
How often during 7-on-7 one-on-one do you experiment with your fundamental techniques? Hey, I'm gonna need this
against. I try to do different techniques here and there, just because it's not Sundays. You know what I'm saying? And this is the times where you want to get better and try things. And I feel like that I can bring into the game and get confident from doing it in practice and then bring it to the game.
Yeah, Terry, you know this team added obviously a lot of size to the D-line through the offseason. How noticeable is that to you, and what else do you, when you're out there, what are you seeing with all these bigger guys?
I mean, I see guys trying to make plays. I mean, it's still early. Like, we just got in pass today. So I just want to see the continuous improvement from our whole defense. You know what I'm saying? We're not where we want to be right now, but still early. And I feel like I'm going to see a lot more in the future.
What do you see from Jordan Hancock? I know he plays a little safety, but sometimes nickel.
Yeah. I mean, I see his physicality. I see that he's flying around. I mean, he kind of looks like a younger version of me a little bit to me. So just having that on our team is going to be extremely helpful with his young.
This is maybe the most competitive DB room you've had since you've been here.
Yeah.
What's that like in that room with everyone? Mm-hmm. The new guys, mm-hmm. the guys you brought back, Dane.
Yeah. It's very competitive. You know what I'm saying? It's only going to make us better. You know, it's going to sharpen guys, the corners, the nickels, the safeties. I feel like we're all just going to be sharpened, and it's going to push guys to be their full potential.
What have you noticed about the way that Cole and Taylor are working together behind
it? They're great. They're great with their communication especially, and you could see how far he's come just within an off season, and how well he knows the defense and how fast he's playing.
Taryn, a lot of new faces on this defense. What's the vibe that you're getting from the group as a whole this year?
Oh, man, that we're going to be really good. But at the same time, we got to double down on the details. If we double down on the details and play with good fundamentals and with that swag and that nasty mentality, I feel like we're going to be going in the right direction.
Who's bringing that swag on the defense?
Who I can think of right now, probably Christian Benford. I think he is the best corner in the NFL. So that's just my opinion.
Darren, going back to Cole, just as a veteran yourself, what do you have to see from a young guy like that that shows, you know, the trust that you can have in that guy, knowing how important the safety position is?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very important. Like, you got to be able to talk. And if I can't hear you back there, I got a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just making sure that he's giving me the call, and he does a great job with it. I don't really got to talk to him much, and he's ahead of it before I am. And that's what I want in the safety.
That is Buffalo Bills starting nickel cornerback Taron Johnson. He met with the media after practice a couple of days ago. So did Greg Rousseau. We have more sound to get to you, and also Thad Brown coming your way right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That is at 11 a.m. We'll get the latest from him, his thoughts on Max Harrison's injury, what that means for the Buffalo Bills, and everything else going on at training camp in Rochester. So stick with me today. Sal Capaccio here. Good to be with you on a Wednesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.